coming to you live from inside the globe, perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City. It's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent, your hosts, Andrew Farmer and the Jedi Cole Houston. And now it's time for Hey Kids Comics.
That sort of thing.
All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to our coverage of 2017 Marsh Madness. I am Andrew Farmer.
Oh, I'm Cole Houston, coming to you live from Slaughter Swamp.
Slaughter Swamp this year, it's going to be a big change from what it usually is. This is, can you believe, 34 years of Marsh Madness?
34 years. It's amazing. I've been covering this as far back as I can. It seems even longer. It seems like there must have been a Marsh Madness back in the Antediluvian. It's just so exciting. And there probably was, but, you know, they didn't keep very good records in prehistory.
We've seen the rise and fall of dynasties. We've seen rookies come forward and fail miserably at this level. We are down to the Moist Eight.
Yes, indeed.
A lot
very
of
Moist Eight. Well, you know, every year just starts out as a kind of grassroots movement.
It sure does, Cole. It sure does.
And then the next thing you know, I feel the need for reads.
So we are going to break down the final four matches in this year's Marsh Madness and explain to you who we think is going to take the thorny crown this year and ride off into that murky, moggy sunset for another
year. Yes,
indeed.
I was really surprised and a little saddened to find that we lost Sludge. You know, I could talk about Sludge all day.
Sludge dropped out of the rankings very early. I just think his time might have passed. I think it's time for Sludge to go back to the Earth. Maybe we can offer him a job.
Yeah, he's going back to Malibu, a much sadder creature. So
Malibu, did he move? I thought it was Poughkeepsie.
No, he's back to his roots in Malibu.
Well,
apparently he's going to be rooming with Prime.
The poor Prime.
Yes, indeed.
But that's another
talk
show.
About an odd couple, but we're not here to talk about them. We're here to talk about the Moist Eight.
Who's Tony Curtis in that couple?
It actually waxes and wanes.
So the four matchups we're going to talk about tonight break down something like this. Matchup one in this round is Swamp Thing and the Heap. Matchup two, the Floronic Man and the Black Talon. Never sleep on Voodoo Chicken Man. Dark Horse for 34 years. Just can't.
So true.
Can't break out of it.
Black Talon has been a part of the final eight every year, oftentimes making it just within the last few brackets, but never quite a contender. But you have to admire that kind of undying ability to come back from the dead every time.
You know, he has a huge following, lots of manpower. You'd think it would have got him through by now, but it always just dies off right at the end, only to be resurrected the following year.
It's so very true. And he always keeps blaming his brother. Oh, wait, I'm being told they're not actually related. It's simply Brother Voodoo that he blames for his continual losses.
Maybe if he took some time away from the supervillain profession, really dedicated some time to this craft, he would move a little further. But this might be his year.
This could be. I'm really excited to see how he fares against the Floronic Man, who has suffered crushing defeats in the past as well.
Yeah, you... At one point, even being taken in by the Justice League. Who do we have in matchup three, Cole?
Well, we have an exciting matchup here. It's one of the most unusual. We have the Black Orchid versus Solomon Grundy.
Speak of resurrection, Solomon Grundy yes, back again
indeed.
This year.
Yes, and they again this year with Solomon Grundy as a contender, they had to work out the schedule to precisely fit the day of the week that was ideal for him.
With that, it is Monday. It is Monday.
So it is a Monday.
Once again on a Monday, it's his Sabbath, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, indeed.
And round four?
We have an exciting one again. We have from an old school contender to one of the more obscure of the swamp creatures, we have Man-Thing versus the Glob.
I'm really surprised the Glob made it this year. It's like somebody threw something against a wall and it stuck finally.
Indeed, it stuck. Yeah, the Glob has been attempting to get into the final eight for decades now. Just sort of bubbling up out of obscurity from the distant past. He's been doing a lot of training at the what is the name of that gym where monsters dwell? Oh, and Kirby's Gym. That's
Kirby's
right.
Gym. Well, you know, it's funny. We'll start with matchup four, Man-Thing versus the Glob. The Glob comes from one of the more tenured training camps, the Roy Thomas training camp for Swamp Monsters. A lot of representation this year in Roy Thomas's camp.
A lot of swamp creatures are coming from Thomas's camp every time. Been involved in the training. He's sort of like the Burgess Meredith and Rocky of comic book swamp creatures.
He really is. And the thing about the thing about the Glob that you need to remember is the Glob's no slouch. The Glob went toe to toe with the Hulk and survived. He's fought the Man Thing on many occasions already. So this is going to be an interesting roundup for that fight.
Absolutely, and of course you have that age old favorite Man Thing. Who not to be confused with the porn star that goes by the same name, Thing Man, but similar name actually. But Man Thing's been around, and I think we found out early on that many of his there was kind of a fear factor with some of his early contenders who unfortunately got them out of the mix right away because they just burned out right there on the court.
That's absolutely true. They
or we're told anyway. There's a beautiful hardwood court somewhere underneath all that sludge there in the swamp. They built it. It was really nice. It just kind of sank.
So who do you think has the edge in this particular matchup?
This is a tough one because both the Glob and Man Thing come from a similar background. They're both swamp creatures. They're both hideous and frightening to most people. Yet they have a deep within that mass of vegetable matter beats an artificial heart of gold.
You know, couldn't have said it better myself. It should be noted that Man Thing was at one, or the Glob was at one time, enslaved by none other than the Collector, a sponsor for this event for 34 years.
Yes, indeed. And always gets any leftovers at the end of the show for his collection.
Do you believe that his time with the Collector will help or hinder him in this matchup?
It really depends on how much use he made of his tenure in a box owned by the Collector, who, by the way, has already claimed the enormous headphones I'm wearing for this event. So I think if he paid a lot of attention to the workout regimen of some of the other captives before the Avengers or someone else released him, he may actually have a bit of an edge because Man Thing just tends to wander and shamble like a great mound through the swamps.
Yeah, he would need those headphones to listen to the words of Ego. I'm being told that that's his own ego. The Collector has a giant,
yes.
Ego. So how does the Man Thing's signature teleportation skills, how do they play into this fight, this battle?
Well, it turns out his teleportation skills are actually linked heavily to the Nexus of Realities Florida. So as we're in an entirely different venue here in Swatter Swamp in sunny Gotham City, I'm really thinking he's going to lose a bit of his traditional edge.
That's what we were saying, that the home field advantage is going to play a very important part this year's Marsh Madness tournament. Let us not forget that the Man Thing is not without his own legal trouble. Much like all professional sports, the Marsh Madness tournament also has its own share of legal issues. Once was almost brought up on charges for stealing the identity of the Swamp Thing, or vice versa. Never went to court, was settled out. How does that affect him mentally going into in a tournament that has the Swamp Thing in it?
I think the old DC Marvel rivalry is going to play in very heavily here, but he's actually kind of going against a former teammate because the Glob is old school Marvel.
That's very true. That's very true. And have fought on the same side against the Collector. It's amazing that he allowed these two to be in the same tournament together and allows us all to exist. Thank you.
Yes, I just had a note that apparently the Glob is on loan from the Collector's collection for this event.
Oh, so he's fighting as a chess piece for the Collector in a Collector event sponsored by the Collector. This is becoming very clear what's happening.
Yes, obviously not fixed.
We should take a moment now to talk about our fall Warriors, the ones that didn't make it, the ones lost last
Yes.
Florida's own Meth Thing.
Meth Thing, yes. We were unfortunate. Completely. Meth Thing had a string of legal problems as well, and was last known to have been tossed overboard deep into the Atlantic Ocean by DEA agents during a destruction of drugs, alcohol, firearms, and other assorted nastiness. So he will live on as part of a budding barrier reef, we're told.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Good. Those fish will be so damn high.
It's yes, indeed.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be, fishing will be wonderful in that area. You just reach into the water, just dangle some blue rock candy, and you got what you want right there.
You'll be missed, you toothless freak of nature. Thank yes, you, indeed. Meth thing, for 5 years, because he's 5 years, I guess 5 years old? I don't know how you age a meth thing.
I'm not really sure. Carbon dating, perhaps.
Or sex one. I tried it once. Couldn't tell.
Best not to. Yes, indeed.
Yes. So let's talk about matchup number three, Cole. Who do we have?
Well, matchup number three, of course, as mentioned, is that really exciting matchup of Solomon Grundy and Black Orchid. This is the first time, you know, the league has didn't used to let female swamp creatures into the mix. Then they realized, like you pointed out with meth thing, it's actually impossible to sex them. So gender becomes a bit of an identity more than an actual biological prerogative here.
It's a very progressive tournament. Very progressive. Oh, there's a lot of cellular mitosis. There's a lot of there's a lot of eating of themselves. It's a disgusting sight here.
Well, I think that also I want to point out that as we get into these brackets, a few of our contenders were actually removed. Did not realize this. This apparently just unsealed the sludge. Chlorophyll doping.
Chlorophyll doping. Oh.
That is
every
a,
sport.
Yes,
every
indeed.
Sport.
So had to be eliminated. Apparently, it's a shame to see some of our finest swampy athletes being mired, as it were.
They run so slow, so not gracefully. It's amazing.
I know. Which actually makes Black Orchid rather ironic because he's one of the budding superstars of this league.
She's young, she's powerful. Who has the edge in this fight? It's another inter-universe battle, this one. Both,
yes,
both
indeed.
From the DC universe.
So in the DC camp, and I think I'd like to put money on if I was a gambling type, which I swear I'm not, Swamp Sport Hall of Fame. I would say
Pete
Black
Moss
Orchid.
Rose, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, Pete Moss Rose.
Pete Moss
yes.
Rose.
Got in a lot of trouble for that. Yeah, so we're not going to follow that path. So ultimately, I think I'd like to go with the Black Orchid because I think she is, she's just in the flower of her youth. And the Solomon Grundy, I hate to speak ill of any of these athletes, but he's just not really the brightest one there. He's has this weak fin. He has a kind of weakness, if you will. And ultimately, it's just, I just don't see him holding his own here.
Okay, well, back a little backstory on the Black Orchid. Been around for a little while. In more recent years, has been shown to have a connection to the green. I believe a few of the contestants this year have a connection to the green. And at one point was killed, and then this is one of the clones that was made as a plant person hybrid in a weird greenhouse. I guess like the movie Saw, but more like the movie The Happening. And Amazing stuff. What do you think that if Solomon Grundy were to pull this out, what would he need to fall back on to make that happen?
I think he's just going to fall back. It's going to come down to decades upon decades of experience, and also being wood-based, having a distinct advantage in the past over the original Green Lantern, not so much over the new one.
No.
Except that time he poured an entire gallon of chartreuse of glidden paint all over himself, and that kind of saved the day, but I don't think that's the sort of thing that'll help him here.
It's a different kind of wood that Green Lantern has a propensity to
yes, indeed, to avoid.
Yes.
Well, there was kind of an irony there with the original Green Lantern.
It
that
was.
There,
I wonder if that
there was one kind of wood that didn't stop him.
That's absolutely true. Well, so matchup two, our second matchup tonight, is the Floronic Man versus the Black Talon. This could go either way from where I sit. This is very interesting. Like I said, the Black Talon has been edging closer to the winner's circle every year. But the Floronic Man, no slouch. Literally,
I think
slouch.
Black Talon's big problem is every time he approaches the winner's circle, he wants to draw a pentagram in the middle of it.
So true. And there are rules against that.
Yeah, you just don't want to go mess with things like that. But I really think I want to put the Floronic Man on this one. He's gone toe-to-toe with Swamp Thing, and there's no slouch there. And, he is also the inventor of Flexi Flesh. who is also one of our sponsors, FlexiFlash. Having trouble fitting in with the meat people? Use FlexiFlash, and you'll somehow look miraculously just as human as they do.
I threw up in my mouth. Thank you.
You bet.
Let's not, though. I know that there have been some rules changes this year. Did they legalize the use of full-blown zombies in this year's tournament?
No, I'm afraid they're not letting that happen, despite an attempt on Black Talon's part to classify Solomon Grundy as a zombie.
Correct. That was my argument.
There was a tremendous bid there, but I think he just fell short. That did not bloom, and he's just going to have to go out there and bring forth all. He's just going to have to go do that voodoo that he do so well.
Interesting fact about the Black Talon. If you haven't read anything, there was an issue of She-Hulk where he brought back to life four dead mutants: Changeling, personal favorite, Scaleface, Living Diamond, and Harry Leland to fight the She-Hulk, naming them the Exhum. Brilliant.
Oh, brilliant how marketing, how wonderful! And also to get to see Diamond Head again. That haven't seen much action out of him.
Years, yeah.
Yes, indeed. Well, I guess being dead and all put a damper on that one.
Also, at one point, Black Talon killed by the Punisher.
So take that, Scourge of the Underworld, who apparently can only kill Z-list villains.
Yet somehow back even now to play our game. The last matchup we have tonight, probably
this is the one that just generates so much excitement.
Well, this is the Sampras Agassi of our tournament. This is the Caligula versus Nero, the Rip Torn versus Paul
Rip Lynch. Taylor.
This is the David Attenborough v. Garrison Keillor of our proceedings today.
Spare no expense.
Swamp Thing versus the Heat. Just give me the rundown. Give me the tail of the tape, Cole.
Well, we're looking at two colossi of the swamp genre. The Heap, of course, the great, great granddaddy of them all.
Yes.
Sharing, as he does, similar origins with just about absolutely every one of them. If there's one thing all of these great athletes have in common, is it's precisely the same origin.
The ones that go the farthest in this tournament tend to be that.
Yes, they are. They're, hence Black Talon's attempt to get a zombie classification, because there's so many reanimated dead guys that it's rather staggering. But the Heap has been around. He's fought alongside Airboy, for God's sake. I mean, who else can say that?
I believe, didn't the Heap also have at one point a sidekick? I think he's the only one of the contestants today that had a sidekick.
I think you're right, except during that brief period of about two issues where Man-Thing had a little Man-Thing as a sidekick, but it turned out that was just Howard the Duck's fever dream.
Little Dickie Man-Thing.
Yeah, little Man-Thing.
Carried him around in a satchel.
It was adorable. It was just like some sort of swampy bran.
It turned out it was just a pile of moss, though.
Yeah.
It didn't work out. So being that we have the granddaddy of them all, the Heap, where does Swamp Thing stand on this battle? How does he measure up to the Rocky of the Swamp?
Swamp Thing has a long history of, once he really came of his own, all of a sudden he has everything you could imagine. There seems to be nothing he can't do in the plant-based world, from hopping off the Earth itself for an interesting tour of various plant life around the galaxy, to growing to redwood forest heights in an ongoing attempt to just outshine even himself.
Well, it needs to be noted that while Swamp Thing has been around for a very long time, starting with the beautiful creation by Bernie Wrightson. See our moratorium reel. I don't like to include Bernie Wrightson in the same moratorium reel as Meth Thing, but you know, costs are what they are. Up to the point at which he enlisted in training in Camp Moore, and we know the turnout that you get from Camp Moore.
Oh, absolutely. Camp Moore is the most intensive training any character can get, and has really benefited most characters to the point that some of them had to even become other characters in order to make it into Camp Moore.
They did. They had to literally reinvent themselves to make it into camp. So
absolutely.
So who do you?
And also, speaking of that moratorium, really, in honor of Bernie Wrightson, we should go ahead and run a little bit of that reel. I see a swamp of green. Okay, that's enough of that.
That's enough. Cut it before Sarah McLachlan starts. All right, well, let's go to the field for round one of Marsh Madness.
Yes, indeed. We'll first be talking to John Constantine out in the... we'll be doing a little bit of the coverage of... he's going to give us a little background on Swamp Thing before the Swamp Thing and the Heat match gets underway.
Well, I first met Swamp Thing back in the swamps of Lusana, and he was rather green in those days, and with my tutelage, I became one of the more, I don't know why I suddenly sound like David Attenborough, but he became one of the most dangerous and potentially winningest characters in Marsh Madness, and has been taking home the moldy gold for most years.
John, what's your relationship to Swamp? I know you have a long and history relationship to Swamp Thing. How did that begin?
Well, I was something of a trainer. I was working in the Moore camp at the time and was tapped to bring Swamp Thing of his own.
Would you say you took him on a literal and metaphorical journey through time and space to learn who he was so that he'd become a better fighter in this?
Oh, absolutely. It was. You can always... there's an entire chronicle available in 7 volumes of... trade paperbacks available at your local comic shop.
And just like that, round one is over. I'm Andrew Farmer.
Oh, my. And I'm Cole Houston.
We're required by law to say that every 15 minutes. Wow, it was an exciting Donnybrook of a first round.
That was. In fact, Donnybrook himself just couldn't shut up about
Donnybrook,
it.
Sir
Donnybrook, yes. Also, having made the jump across the pond to be here for this. And while we were interviewing John Constantine, no less.
Of all things.
Yes, a Swamp Thing completely just destroyed the heap. In an unprecedented move of absorbing the heap into himself.
Like we said, there's very little that the Swamp Thing can't do when it comes to the green. And do you believe that his ephemeral connection to the green, that source of all plant life that connects and binds it, helped him in this fight? I think we saw a little bit of that in that absorption, didn't we?
Oh, absolutely. We probably won't be seeing the heap again until he regrows sometime later in the spring.
But what a show of sportsmanship, that hand coming out of the Swamp Thing to shake the Swamp Thing's hand and then being
That was a beautiful thing.
It was, and you know, let it be said that the heap, will, the grandfather of this event, will this be the year that the heap retires?
We'll have to see. The heap's been just at it for the entire, he's one of the oldest contenders. A lot of people say there isn't an old timers day, and that's just because we don't really designate there. The heap is a timeless. There's always a heap somewhere.
Right. I think in order to come back next year, he's going to have to completely change his image.
I think that might be a good idea because a lot of the younger kids just don't understand a walking hay bale so much as they might prefer. I don't know. Perhaps he should learn to do a little trash talking, a little just being trash.
I think he would really serve having about 5, maybe 6 toilet seats absorbed into him.
Absolutely.
So that was round one. The Swamp Thing took it, moving on to the Floral Four. What about the next round?
Well, on the Floral Floor, we have, oddly enough, the arrangements of this. It just seems like, you know, if you're incredibly super famous, your bout gets to be first because Man-Thing versus the Glob.
And Man-Thing took it. We were on the fence on this because the Glob is a perennial favorite, again, captured by the Collector, has a gold brain.
And absolutely fearless. I mean, the Collector put him forth as one of the best swamp fighters out there. And to see him get completely... swamped, as it were. I'm Cole Houston.
And I'm Ed Farber. Yeah, it came down to branch-to-branch combat, really going at it. I just think that Man-Thing was a little fresher this year. Probably his connection to that Nexus of the Universe coming straight away helped him, if not directly, you know, intrinsically.
Oh, absolutely. And Man-Thing also apparently has a new training regimen where he'll have a great big stein before every bout.
That he will. That he will. So, yes, that was one of the most contentious battles, but we kind of called it early. Floronic Man versus Black Talon. Floronic Man came out ahead on that.
Through an old trick,
which was absorbing one of the only contestants in this battle that needs oxygen to survive, over-oxygenated the air, much like he did when he fought the Swamp Thing so many years back and took down the Black Talon.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, in his overly oxygenated state, I don't know if he's going to come back from this one because you can't really blame him in that particular state, but at the same time, he just came across as quite a chicken.
That he did. I'm Andrew Farmer.
I'm Cole Houston.
And one of the fights that we were really on the fence about this fight. We didn't know which way it was going to go. The Black Orchid Solomon Grundy matchup.
Oh yes, absolutely. I think everyone was on the mud fence on this one.
So Solomon took it. Oddly enough, I told you home field advantage for Solomon Grundy. That's where it's at. His feet were in his own mud. He was ready to rock. Well trained.
Not only were they in his own mud, they were in a morass of dead gangsters.
Just hip deep in dead Italian men in nice suits. It's Falcones, Marones, Conchones. Maria Chiquita Alonso was there. I don't know why she wasn't dead. She was just there.
No, she was just there. She was just vacations there.
So
someone told her it was a mud bath. And
are we seeing the resurrection of Solomon Grundy as a player in this tournament?
I think year after year, oftentimes month after month, we see a resurrection of Solomon Grundy. He is a perennial favorite, of course.
He is, sir.
See, I really had high hopes for the Black Orchid, but, I think with a little more pruning of her technique, she's going to come out on top in the future on this. I don't see that this is the end of her career.
This leaves us with a matchup of the Swamp Thing and Solomon Grundy. That's a brute force fight. And Man-Thing versus the Floronic Man. Now, if you go back and you read the issues from the Moore camp, the Floronic Man doesn't do much to show fear. He kind of strides mightily across the land, wearing his dirty fake flesh skin and
bizarre bushy merkin.
Yeah, he does. He has that moss merkin. He is working that moss merkin.
Yes, indeed.
Looking like an unsanded Pinocchio's dick, just wandering about.
And it's good for him in this case that he does not show fear, because being entirely made of wood, he'll burn better than most of Swamp Thing or Man Thing's victims.
So let me get this straight. Man Thing, as portrayed in the Marvel Universe for many a year, secretes. Is it magical, or is it a plant based? Because I don't know of many plants that secrete a fiery toxin when exposed to fear.
Oh yeah, it's new.
Oh, it's new. Okay, I get
it's
it.
Great.
It's cool.
Yeah.
You just haven't heard of it yet.
Yeah, it's brand new. Apparently. He is Floro Superior, new mute plant. Yeah, in the plant kingdom, he's the future, Charles, not them.
Are there plant mutants?
There are plant mutants. They're not as obvious. One of the most striking of the plant mutants was Pyroplant, which did not work out well.
No, just constantly.
To come to gestate with the ability to catch fire when you're, made of wood is just one of the worst. For the most part, mutations have not worked out as well.
I was hoping, I'm really hoping that we get to see a little bit of that old Floronic Man magic where he rips off a piece of Man Thing and eats it.
I would love to see that. When Mike Tyson was inexplicably allowed into the league one year, they did have to put a ban on any sort of physical biting.
He literally ate.
I mean, he just completely devoured his opponent, literally.
I'm glad that Swamp Thing could come back after now, granted, he was able to go on to the next round after the disqualification, but just ate him like a Cobb salad.
Absolutely.
Just like a giant wedge salad. It was horrifying and wondrous to watch. The miracle of nature. Just the miracle of nature. So, where do you fall on the Swamp Thing Solomon Grundy fight?
Well, that's a tough one there, too, because you have two top DC contenders now going toe-to-toe, both of them with some kind of connection to the green. We've seen in the past that Solomon Grundy, one of his favorite tricks is to die and come back. And because of that, that five-second window, he has time to resurrect. So it really just depends on how well Swamp Thing is able to keep him down. It will also be interesting to see if Swamp Thing does try to employ his tubers.
Well, I've seen that video. I have the internet. Let's go down Swampside and talk to Man Thing about his upcoming fight with the Floronic Man. Does the fact that he ate a piece of Swamp Thing, does it worry you, Man Thing? Listen, I understand that we live in a difficult political time, but I don't think this is the time to really explore exopolitical and... The industrial military complex is a problem. We all know who FDR is. We don't need to get into this. All right, we're going to go back, and while we were talking to Man Thing...
I never would have picked him as such a politico.
Right, and while we were talking to Man Thing, round two has completed.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm Andrew Farmer.
I'm Cole Houston.
Some surprising.
And this is Marsh Madness.
I guess some not too surprising. They all four of these were titans of the swamp. So,
oh yeah, absolutely.
So everybody should be proud of their victories up to this point. But now we have a matchup of Swamp Thing versus Man Thing. Swamp Thing best.
I do want to point out it was strangely ironic that somehow the Floronic Man caught fire. Apparently it had nothing to do with fear. He just accidentally had some. It turns out Flexi Flesh is incredibly flammable.
Why didn't he take that off?
The heat and humidity of the swamp was enough to set it ablaze.
I think when we go back and watch the tapes, we're going to see the big mistake of that battle was leaving that highly flammable fake skin on your body during a fight with a giant literal Man Thing.
Well, the worst part was, of course, that it burned away that Ivy Merkin, and no man should have to ever see what dwelled beneath.
What fear lies in the hearts of the Merkinless.
Yes, indeed. It's worse than being thrown in the briar patch. Let's put it that way.
So what do you think contributed to Swamp Thing's victory over Solomon Grundy?
I think a lot of it was Solomon Grundy's complete lack of a logical mind. Swamp Thing, while it has been established during his Moore Camp years that he is not Alec Colin, he still retains a lot of the human memories and the ability to, for things like nonlinear thought and being able to pull some little tricks on, some little mental play there. There's some verbal sparring, very monosyllabic on Solomon Grundy's part. He has a lot of difficulty with those multiple syllable words like days of the week.
Now, here's the real question about the upcoming matchup, the finals between Swamp Thing and Man Thing. The fact that while we found out that Swamp Thing isn't just a vegetable husk for Alec Holland to live in, but is indeed a swamp monster in his own right, trying to prove what a man is, still contains the ability to know fear. Can Man Thing take advantage of that ability to know fear and set him alight?
I think what we're going to run into here is that traditionally Man-Thing's ability to invoke his infernal fear power is largely based on human fear of the unknown. And I think that Swamp Thing's going to have a familiarity with swamp creatures. So it's sort of like looking into a cracked mirror or one of those funhouse mirrors that takes your normal semi-skeletal face and warps it into some sort of weird tendrily red-eyed monstrosity.
So
that
heroin.
Of course. Or meth thing, for
meth
that matter.
Thing. That's meth thing's ability to show you what you would look like on meth.
That's right. This is you on meth. So I really don't think that the fear is going to be a big issue. And given Swamp Thing's inherent ability and the fact that Man Thing is just the human mind trapped in a mass of different vegetable matter, Swamp Thing really has the advantage on this one.
Well,
and I think we're seeing that advantage coming into play right now. Swamp Thing has just willed Man Thing's feet to grow taproots. So he's going to have a hard... Oh, wow.
Nobody likes to see that.
When swamp creatures come to blows, it's always a little disconcerting, even after 3.5 decades, to see their hands just punch through one another like just so much putty.
Yeah, it's disheartening. But we know that they'll heal. We've seen it a million times.
Oh, now that's a dirty move.
I didn't know that Man Thing had one of those.
No, I don't think he did. It just sort of grew out. It's I think it's a rhododendron, if I'm not mistaken. And now there's a lovely are those? Yes, it's green onions and carrots. Swamp Thing has grown a victory garden inside Man Thing.
Wow,
that is,
we've never seen
that.
Okay,
that. Carrot's kind of coming out reach.
Now
there.
He's just taking a lap.
Yeah.
Swamp Thing. Okay, it's been called Swamp yep. Thing is the victor of this year's 2017.
Oh, wait. There's some word from the. Mike Tyson has arrived
oh,
and
no.
devouring the Victory Garden.
Oh no! It's like Joey Chestnut in the hot dog eating contest in here. It's horrifying.
I didn't realize that you could simultaneously eat so many carrots, green onions, and I think those are snap peas and a cantaloupe. Husk and all. Wow,
Husk
that
just
is some...
shoved it in his mouth.
Yeah. It's like a chipmunk down there with a tribal tattoo. It's the damnedest thing.
Well,
so we're
there.
Well,
you
now and
go.
Swamp Thing has arrived to claim the crown, to claim his victory yet again. I'm told that he said that this is just one small example of just how powerful the green is, and so. Watch it, flesh puppets.
He's saying Abigail and crying again. This happens every
yeah.
Sad.
He's just always yelling that from the ring.
It's
Abby!
It's very sad. It's a very sad turn of events. But thank you for joining us for this year's coverage of Marsh Madness. We'll be back next year for the same tournament, exactly the same as it was this year, because it's always the same. Now we go back
actually,
to
I'm told that the Glob is officially retiring. We'll become a commentator on this program. So, well,
Glob,
welcome our latest addition to the team. I'm Cole Houston.
I'm Andrew Farmer, and we're going back. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Glob. We're going back to the studio for a brief conversation about this year's AllCon. Thank you for joining us. Join us next year for more Marsh Madness coverage.
Wow, that was
that was exciting.
I didn't realize somebody brought a flugelhorn. Well, we're
somebody
back.
Somebody always brings a flugelhorn.
Yes,
that was exciting. Now AllCon this year, how was it?
Every year, I think AllCon outdoes itself. I can't stress enough. If you missed AllCon in the past, you need to go because it is the most approachable, fan-friendly, fan-run, and fan-populated convention yes. you're going to find. Every aspect of fandom is welcome to participate, some of which have grown to the point where, in addition to my own Games and Theory game show track, which I think there were 40 game shows this year, something on that order, which is staggering to me. The history of AllCon game shows has gone from one title to, 30 some odd titles, like 35 titles, which I just can't fathom. Already I have people approaching me for more new shows, as well as those who are kind of grandfathered in to return next year. And of course, I'm cooking up more new stuff for AllCon and Infinicon coming up in August of this year.
That's right.
So, steampunk has its own room now. There's so much steampunk content, apparently, that they raid an entire room. And it's fun when I do get the chance to wander around and just kind of go room to room. Sometimes there's just a handful of people in a room. Sometimes they're packed. But you walk by and you see these things and you just know that some part of the fan community is being addressed here. Starman Morrison every year puts on panels about shows like Arrow and Flash, and I think this year he did one on the Legends of Tomorrow, and just kind of catch you up and talk about those, and as well as a number of other panels. Rick and Roy from Rediscovering the Magic, who are not Mouseketeers, by the way, even though it sounds like you'd expect them to say, I'm Rick. I'm Roy. Yeah. Bring all manner of Disney and pop culture and cult film aspects to even producing their sadistically difficult Disney trivia version of Don't Lose Your Geek Card, which is AllCon's original game show that was created expressly for AllCon. It has been part of that for, about 8 years now, I think, in various incarnations. Eddie Medina and I produced, as the Rancor Pit, three different game shows. We had Don't Lose Your Geek Card's Rancor Pit edition. We had Do You Like the Star Wars? And, of course, the fourth incarnation of the Rancor Pit Galactic Games. And in addition to that, there were at least two rounds of that Hit It and Quiz It's did as part of the game show track of Star Wars Trivial Pursuit, which they brought the tech. They had, projected screens and stuff. The Bacon Samurai brought us brought back Match Game, the very first game show ever at AllCon was Catherine produced Geek Match Game back in 2006, and Match Game was back in a big way. Catherine wrote material for it and paneled on both versions, and I paneled on one of them. That was just a blast, and there was just so much going on. The costume contest was amazing. Neil Kaplan, a perennial guest of AllCon, and just literally the face of AllCon nowadays, presenting the contestants and serving the judges pie, just was a highlight.
For those of you that haven't realized this, Neil Kaplan, who's just a brilliant and prolific voice actor, comes to AllCon pretty much every year now on his own dime. It's his vacation. He's not beholden to his handlers or to management, and just pretty much does whatever the hell he wants for 3 days.
Yes, indeed. And he is there all weekend just having fun. And I he just enjoys the hell out of being there. He loves the AllCon people. And referred to me as he was introducing the judges as this feller.
Now, so is he from Texas?
No, he is. He flies in from Los Angeles, California every year.
Wow.
Or every year that he's come in from after the first one. And he just enjoys himself. And that's one of the things I really love about AllCon. Isn't one of these autograph shows where you're going to meet Mark Hamill and pay $200 for an autograph, or see Stan Lee on the "We Swear to God This Time He's Retiring" tour.
the not promoting the Stan Lee box of all things.
Yes, indeed, where you actually have, instead of just being herded through like cattle, getting you know, half a minute for the celebrity to write their name and tell you to piss off. No, not that they do that. It's their handlers who tell you to piss off.
Correct.
And then charge you $50 for a photo op. You can, you know, the guests of AllCon are out there on the show floor when they're not signing autographs or doing panels, and they're very approachable and a lot of fun and just really enjoy being there. Gerald Holm, who was the character known back in the day as Squidhead, and one of the Mon Calamari officers, he was actually in a scene that they couldn't work out because they didn't make but one articulated Mon Calamari, that being Akbar. Apparently he had a speaking role that had to be cut because the mask wasn't built to have someone inside speaking. But he's fascinating actor and performer who is just a joy to work with. And he brought me a packet of very British Walker's potato crisps.
That's fantastic.
And as an honorary member of the 501st Legion, was leafily going around distributing his training cards to 501st members. he actually gifted me one of his previous run at Infinicon. I got to work with him there and moderate panels with him and stuntman Dickie Beer. Fascinating people. And it's just so much fun because they want to be there. They want to talk to the audience, and they love the fan base.
So how was your – I know it's your perennial favorite now show to do. Brilliant, brilliant game show. Screen Time. If you haven't witnessed the Screen
Time – I love
Time,
some Screen Time.
The idea behind it is all the lines that are quotable that you know from movies, how well do you really know them? How well do you know your pop culture when it comes to movies? And seeing the delivery from whatever guest, you know, I had probably – I've had some good times at AllCon.
Andy, I absolutely love – when Andy and I can co-host Screen Time when he's in town. And I pretty much rotated all of my hosts through this year so we could have a little bit of variety. And we actually a few years ago had to add Screen Time Rated R because there were so many movie quotes we weren't using because they were naughty.
I literally had to drink before hosting that because there's no way I would have been able to deliver those lines.
But it is the most challenging show to host because the first round is just strictly movie trivia. We just had 20 questions. We got about 10 minutes to get through as many of those as we can. Then we kill the board. Then we have a round two, which rotates. This year, the games included on two different screen times. We had a game called You Might Be in This Movie If. And we would, myself and my co-host, would deliver statements that were things that occurred in a specific movie.
Right.
And, you know, the posing or putting forth the idea you might be in this movie if these certain things are happening. Unfortunately, in my addled brain. I can't remember any of those right now. Another of them that I loved that we used for Rated R, I think, was I See London, I See France. And it was trivia on movies that had underwear-specific scenes in them, like the underpants in 16 Candles, or I think, Andy, you may have been the one who said you have to do Raising Arizona.
You got a panty under that underpants rabbit hole because you asked me to help with that. Just is there anything you can think of? And I literally went two days. My browser history is horrible.
Yeah, it was amazing how many places you could find things. And I even went so far as to include the question of Arnold Schwarzenegger, or that underpants probably weren't in the wardrobe for what Arnold Schwarzenegger movie co-starring Radon Chong?
That would be Commando.
Exactly.
This is a great quiz. But the thing you have to remember the most about, the reason I think that this show became Cole's favorite show and my favorite show at AllCon, and if you go next year, are you bringing it back for Infinicon at all?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Okay. We performed it at Infinicon last year for about three shows, and we'll be definitely bringing it back. Because it is the most fun it's a challenge to write and produce, actually host. But yes, the final round is the best part after you've eliminated down to two contestants, and we have, as I started to describe it to my audience, if you took all of your favorite movie quotes and printed them all out and gave them to your grandma to read.
That's so good.
We tried to read them in the most droll, robotic, and completely dry, to the point where oftentimes myself or a co-host have to pause a moment to find it in ourselves to take these quotes that we love to do in voices and in performance and inflection and strip it of all of that.
Yeah, the quotes that you think, and when presented to me, when pitched to me this idea, I just was like, shit, that is brilliant, because so many of the quotes that you know, think about them, but think about how much of them are tied up in the emotion or the inflection or the delivery of that character in that movie delivering that line, you know, get your hands off me, you damn filthy ape, or I'll drink your milkshake or whatever it might be.
Exactly. When you're quoting them to your friends, you're more often than not trying to match that inflection. You know, like, it's my duty to please your booty. And, you know, you're not going to say it like, you know, Eugene from Walking Dead. It's my duty to please your booty. And so you have to strip it of all that. It's a challenge, but it's wonderful. The most fun is to watch the contestants, and especially the audience, when it hits, when they realize what you've just said, only you said it all wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and all of the quotes are very thoroughly researched. I'm a stickler for making sure that we're actually you know, not the quote we remember, but the quote that was on screen.
So any of this that sounds interesting to you, I think it's the second weekend in, or the first weekend in August, Infinicon back at the Addison
Crown Plaza in Addison, Texas. Infinicon was actually begun as a number of people wanted to have a summer AllCon, and the AllCon partners had enough of a challenge with just simply having AllCon. That was enough. So they basically, there was a group that spent the better part of a decade pushing and developing and working with people, and they finally made it happen.
Which is brilliant. So yes, another successful AllCon in 2017. I wish I could have gone, but Paul carried the banner for the entire JCU, as he always does. How many average hours do you think you spent at this AllCon doing things?
Effectively on stage, I tend to be involved about 30 hours minimum over 4 days, 30 to 35 hours. I kind of jokingly pride myself on being in about 10% of AllCon every year.
Right.
It's getting harder to do now because there were close to 400 different things going on over the course of 4 days. And so many conventions you go to, it's just a big dealer room. There's maybe 10 different things going on during the course of the entire weekend. It costs you like $50 to get in for 1 day. AllCon was, I think, 45 or 50 for 4 days. And one of those 4 days, if you just wanted to check it out, Thursdays have always been free. And Wednesday night, they have a pajama party. There was a giant inflatable ball pit. There was there were coloring books out there. There was a cotton candy and birthday cake were served. They had an actual cotton candy machine there, so you could
I'm telling you, AllCon is out of control. It's gotta be the best convention.
The giant inflatable Darth Vader that hasn't been seen since 2006 was back.
Somehow made a resurgence this year. Oh my goodness, that's amazing. Well, we need to wrap up this show. Thank you for joining us for coverage of Marsh Madness. It was a fever dream that we put together that it's way too much fun to pass up.
Yes, indeed. It started out one direction and was just too much fun to do as a the closest thing since comic sports balls that you're going to get to us even imitating that aspect of
and
humanity.
We promise we will have, I know that we did it ended up being a 6-issue run on Alan Moore, and it felt like we could do another 10, but I promise that we'll have an entire issue dedicated to Swamp Thing in the near future. Too important a character and too well positioned to put together not to do an entire issue. So.
Oh yes, we absolutely do need to explore the thing of the swamp. Especially since we did lose Bernie Wrightson just this very week. So
passing and just the beauty and the visceral nature. And perhaps we could talk Bernie Wrightson if we could get a hold of Mr. Price to have that conversation a little bit. Not to put too much on the, you know, on the onus of a recorded show, but if we might be able to arrange something like that, that might be a good thing. The professor of Hey Kids Comics, as it were.
Oh, and finally, on the subject of AllCon, I've been inspired by Andrew in my attempt to talk AllCon in a previous attempt at this recording. And just in general, I'm going to try to put together an AllCon, Jedi Cole Universe AllCon post-con special in honor of the 13th anniversary of AllCon, and try to put together some interviews with some of the folks that were part of my own team that are part of AllCon year after year that understand and have been and just love this show. And so we'll have that on the JCU. And then next year for AllCon, the 14th year of AllCon, we're moving to our new hotel. I'll be putting that up on the Convention Awareness Project to help inform and let people know exactly why AllCon is so important.
So where can people find all the conventions in Texas, Cole?
Well, you know, prior to AllCon, I kind of fell out of it. I feel kind of bad. I'm back in the saddle, and I've been adding new conventions all week, or all day today, rather. And go to Convention Awareness Project Texas, cap-tx.info. And we're getting back to the point where every convention in the Lone Star State will be available for you. Click on the name of any given convention, and it will take you to their website. There are a staggering number of brand new conventions in 2017. It's amazing. And they're all over the state. So in cities where there've never been comic or anime or media conventions.
That's fantastic. And what about this show? Where can you find all the content of the JC?
Oh, yes. Oh, you can always find us at JediCole.com. And little by little, I'll start getting the content back up on Cinelinx, because we're now powered by Cinelinx. And the cat has brought in another grass snake. She is quite the huntress.
Yes. So, that's my favorite cat ever. Here's a grass snake.
Yeah. Our sister's coming over to check out her prey. So, at any rate, you can write to us at jcumail@yahoo.com. You can see the occasional tweets on Twitter at the Jedi Cole U. And I believe there's also a Hey Kids Comics Twitter as well.
There is. It's HK Comics Show, where you can find reblogs, direct links to things like the Justice League trailer that came out today. And I will tell you this, Cole, have you watched it yet?
I have not watched that yet.
The Aquaman. I was, you know, we were all kind of on the fence about Momoa being Aquaman. And the more we saw, the more I think we got behind it. But this trailer is very Aquaman heavy. Already my favorite character, and the reason I'm going to go see this thing.
I'll have to check it out, because I'm still trying to reconcile my hatred of the direction they went. Which also begs the question, how do you get tattoos at the bottom of the sea? And
from octopuses, duh.
Oh, of course. You just squeeze an octopus or a squid.
You just squeeze it out. We crazy.
That's right.
Yeah, so, but also, if
you've lost your snake.
If you like the JCU, if you like what you hear on Hey Kids Comics or the Rantcore Pit or any of the other plethora of shows the JCU has to offer, head over to iTunes, find the JCU on there. The links are all over the place. They're on our Twitter. They're on website. Rate, review the show. That's what's going to let people know that you're listening. That's what's going to give us things like sponsors that are going to allow us to free up some of our monetary resources to invest in infrastructure and shows and doing more awesome things. So go over to iTunes, rate, review, push us up those ranks so that we can get, you know, more of the shows that you love and better quality out to you guys.
Absolutely. And of course, the JCU also brings you the Rancor Pit. The two signature shows of the network are the Rancor Pit and, of course, Hey Kids Comics. And Eddie Medina, my co-host, and I will be launching the Rancor Pit Roadshow Summer Tour. The Rancor Pit Roadshow was first held at Alcon this year. Yes, indeed.
I just fucking do Peter Griffin.
Rocking
on
and
the road
rolling. Down on the beach, I'm strolling.
God, I don't want to be in a car with you guys on a road trip. Though I will say this, the idea of Cole, Eddie, and myself on a road trip together
could
be the best idea in the history of the world. All right.
Well, yeah, we'll be starting that tour at the.
Which show?
The Rancor Pit Roadshow will be launching at Arlington in Arlington, Texas, and we're going to be all over the DFW area at conventions and also some of the local comic and toy shops. And we will also be, I'm looking right now into seeing if we can panel at the upcoming Famous Monsters Convention Dallas.
That's fantastic. Doesn't it culminate in one of my favorite shows in Texas?
Well, we are going to be wrapping up. I think the summer tour will wrap up at Infinicon, of course, and it'll be at Arlington and the DFW GI Joe
yes.
and Toy Show.
Sorry,
just coming back for yet another year. It's been amazing because they did their first couple of years and they're like, we're not sure if we'll be back next year, and every year nowadays they're like. The confidence level, there's just simply no question that they'll be back next year each year.
That's fantastic. That's the show where Eddie and I bonded.
Yes, indeed.
Because Eddie really, and I didn't even really know each other prior to the G.I. Joe toy show there in Texas, and we both showed up separately.
They bonded over the ice cream soldier.
We did, which still hangs proudly on the wall right now, the ice cream soldier. So let's wrap her up. Thank you guys for joining us on this little mind adventure, this little one act play that we did tonight. It was we love it. We get it. You indulge us on so many levels to let us do this, and we're so thankful for everyone out there that's listening and giving us feedback and talking to us, including Spindly Bits. We haven't forgotten.
I was thinking Spindly there. Bits just the other day.
You're still out there. So buy, collect, enjoy your comics. If you need a suggestion, Alan Moore's Swamp Thing run, so brilliant. I don't think either of us would argue that point that it's
Go find Saga of the Swamp Thing and available in a number of volumes, and it's just worth, or if you can find a complete one, so much the better.
It's a white whale for me. It's finding like the Saga of the Swamp Thing omnibus somewhere. I'll dazzle a kidney for that. So thank you, Bike Collect. Enjoy your comics. Join us next week for Hey Kids Comics. And signing off, I'm Andrew Farmer.
And I'm Cole Houston. We'll see you next year for more March Madness.